ahead and get started in this series. And let me throw out there to you, I'm excited. When we're gone in March, I'm going to be gone 2 Sundays. You don't have to say amen or cheer about that, but just keep that within yourself if you're excited about me being gone for a couple weeks. But I have asked a couple people to step in and minister, and I'm excited about this. The only thing that I'm a little bit upset about is I'm not going to be here to watch God use them. And so first being Steve Reinier, our great security guy that you, by the way, I've had Steve preach before, and I'm telling you right now, it will shock you when God gets a hold of that little guy. He's a phenomenal teacher, and he's always got a great word from the Lord. He's going to be teaching on Thursday night for me, the Thursday that I'm gone, and the first Sunday that I'm gone. I know some of you are going to be super excited about this. You know, my daughter told me one time, I said, Pastor Jocelyn's going to preach for me tomorrow, and she said, oh, we're going to hear a real preacher preach. So, Pastor, I'll tell you something else, too. My daughter's always trying. I'm getting a little irritated with all this gray hair coming up in my hair. And my daughter was sitting with Sherlock, our little dog. She had him on her lap the other day, sitting in the recliner, and I was laying on the floor. We weren't even talking about my gray hair. She just knows I've been a little bit disgusted with the aging of my body. And she said, Daddy, don't feel bad. Sherlock has gray hairs, too. Just wanted to laugh a little bit. So Pastor Jocelyn's going to preach the first Sunday that I'm gone, and I've asked James Mulliken to do the second Sunday, and I'm very excited. If you've not heard, I know you've heard Pastor Jocelyn preach here of lately, but if you've never heard James teach, you don't want to miss that Sunday. He is a very, very, very good teacher. Very good teacher. He has taught many times on Thursday nights, and he will have a great word. It will bless you, and so make sure that you come and be blessed. So let's go ahead and get started. Week number 11 in this series. I told Nate Grooms when me and Nate was talking, I am going to beat this drum until the Lord tells me to stop. I'm excited because we're finally operating at a level that I'm just proud to say, hey, we're getting there. We're moving in the right direction as people are being used of God and miracles are taking place and the gifts of the Spirit are beginning to operate on a regular basis. I'm excited and I'm proud of us as a church. Faith really does come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, the Bible says, Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and he said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. And Jesus replied, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Somebody shout out, no one. The key is to be born again. It's not about going to church. It's not about getting a Bible. It's not about joining a small group. It's about being born again. It's about having an encounter with Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Nicodemus said in reply, How can someone be born when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit, everybody say the Spirit. The Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, You are Israel's teacher, and you do not understand these things. So in this series, what we're doing is taking this section of Scripture where it says the wind blows wherever it wishes. You cannot tell where it's coming from or where it is going, but you can see it. You can experience the effects of the wind. How many of you have ever felt the wind? How many of you have ever seen the wind move an object before? How many of you have ever been refreshed by the wind during a... Can anybody else believe how wonderfully warm February has been? You know, my son and I was outside working yesterday, and I was just refreshed by the blowing of the wind on February 18th. I could not believe how warm it was. This, for those of you that are new to Iowa, don't get used to this. I'm telling you right now, do not get used to this weather in February, because it may never happen again. Anyway, you can see the wind. You can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of it. And that's what this series is about. It's about learning and discovering what are the effects of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible makes it clear that if you've been born again, lift up your hand, if you've been born again. If you've been born again, you have been born of His Spirit. His Spirit is in you. Everybody say, His Spirit is in me. And if his spirit is in you, his spirit is giving birth after his own kind. I'm going to say it again. If his spirit, you want me to go on, Charlie. I know why you amen. I'll just keep preaching until you amen and get it, okay? So, you know, you better shift gears and try to catch up here or something if you want to get out on time, because I got all day. My Sunday belongs to the Lord. So does my Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, by that matter too. But nonetheless, Jesus said that which is born of spirit gives birth to the spirit. If you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you, and you do if you're born again, the way you got born again was the Spirit of God came and gave birth to something inside of you. But it wasn't something human. It wasn't something fleshly. It wasn't something after the nature of your man. It was after the nature of your Father God in heaven. He gave birth to something that was spiritual. And because his Spirit is in you, his Spirit will produce after his own kind. Every seed, according to the Bible, it's a spiritual law. Every seed will produce after its own kind. You plant an apple seed, what are you going to get? An apple tree, and that apple tree is going to do what? It's going to bear apples for fruit. If you plant an acorn, what is it going to do? An oak tree is going to grow. And what is it going to produce? Fruit. If you take a tomato seed and plant it, what's going to happen? Plant's going to grow, and what kind of fruit is it going to bear? It's going to bear the kind of fruit that the seed caused it to bear. If you have the Spirit of God in you, that seed, everybody say, his seed is in me. It will give birth to things like him. How many of you know that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of joy? He's the Spirit of peace. He's the Spirit of wholeness. He's the Spirit of righteousness. He's the Spirit of holiness. He's the Spirit of health, glory to God. He's the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. He's the Spirit of knowledge. He's the Spirit of wisdom. He's all of these things, and that's what he will produce in us. Those are the effects of the Spirit. Somebody say amen. And these are the points that we've talked about each week so far, and I'm not even going to review them. You can go online and get those. I want to jump straight in to the 11th point of this series, the effects of the Holy Spirit. The 11th effect that we are going to talk about is a love that compels us to go. When you have received the Holy Spirit inside of you and the seed of God has come alive inside of you, one of the effects of the Holy Spirit, as these other effects we see up here, is a love that compels you to go. Everybody say out loud, a love that compels me to go. Listen to what the scripture says. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. How many of you like to suffer? We don't like it. But guess what? We need to renew our mind to suffering. I'm going to say it again. We in our humanity don't like suffering. We need to have our minds renewed to suffering. I've told you before in weeks gone past, and I'm going to tell you again, we all need to learn to be comfortable when it's uncomfortable. We need to learn what it is. As Brother Don said last week when he was sharing his testimony, I'm not going to let this deter me. I'm not going to let this move me. I'm not going to let this change my position on who my God is and what he has promised to me. I'm going to learn to be comfortable. Let me tell you something. Why is it that uncomfortable things happen? Why is it that suffering comes? Why is it that persecution comes your way? I'll tell you why. When you're doing kingdom business, when you are operating in the methods and manner that the king of the kingdom would want you to, hell is going to wage war against you. If you are not being persecuted, you are not in the faith of Jesus Christ. If you are not being attacked by the enemy on a regular basis, it's because you're not a threat to the enemy. If you're not experiencing hardship and adversity and trials, it's because your faith is dead. Oh, I'm preaching real good this morning. When you are living for Jesus and when you are walking in the kingdom and you are living kingdom-mindedly, hell is going to wage a war against you. Why? Because you are a threat to hell. Understand, why does any nation declare war against another? Because that nation begins to threaten. That nation or that people begins to threaten. And so there's a declaration of war declared. Whether you realize it or not, family, whether you realize it or not, child of God, there has been a war waged against us. And the more you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, the more you begin to see it. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering does what? It produces something. When you go through difficulty, why are you rejoicing? Not because you're going through difficulty, but because your renewed mind understands that at the end of the challenge, at the end of the difficulty, at the end of the hardship, something is going to come from it. Something is going to be produced by it. It's not your destruction. It's not your disaster. For God declares, I know the plans that I have for you, not to harm you, not disaster, but plans to prosper you. God wants to prosper you. He wants you to grow. He wants you to share in a very, very valuable character quality called perseverance. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Let me tell you something. How come so many Christians give up so easy nowadays? And let me just do a real quick poll. How many of you think Christians are weak and quit way too early? How many of you think Christians, I'm not kidding. I've never seen such weaklings. I'm not directing that at any individual. That's a statement. Christians are very weak anymore. Very weak. And the first time difficulty comes their way, usually they'll change churches after they try sitting on the other side for a little while. Well, maybe if I sit over there, I won't have to deal with that difficulty. Hey, I'm preaching the truth, and everybody here knows it. People quit, and they give up. They quit on their families. They quit on their wives and their husbands. They quit on their children. They quit on God. They quit on their ministries. They quit on all kinds of things. Why? Because when difficulty comes, it's easier for them to quit than to walk by faith and not by sight. And what happens is as you begin to yield and walk by faith and not by sight, God produces something in you that you didn't have prior to, and it's called perseverance. And guess what happens? The next time you face something, you're a little bit more equipped to handle it. You have a little bit more what I call stubbornness. I mean, sometimes you just got to be good, old-fashioned stubborn. Oh, Linda Fears knows what I'm talking about. We know how to be stubborn for the Lord, don't we, Linda? You got to learn to be stubborn and not let the things that come to move you, move you. God creates perseverance through that. Now, after perseverance begins to be created, the Bible says perseverance, character, and character, hope. How many of you think there's a lack of character in the body of Christ today? You know what it's all rooted back to? Everything that we're talking about, you know what it stems back to? People not handling their suffering correctly. People giving up. People not enduring. People not trusting in God. It goes on to say, and hope does not put us to shame. I like the way that the King James Bible says it, and hope does not disappoint. It maketh not ashamed. The hope that God gives you will never disappoint you. The hope that comes from Christ will never let you down. The hope that you get from Jesus is not a false hope. It's not a hope that builds you up only to find out later it was not true. It's not like somebody who promises to do something good for you but really has no intention of doing it at all. The hope that comes from God is hope that never disappoints. You know why I have a hope that never disappoints when it comes to my health? Because God, who promised me health and healing, He's faithful. And His hope does not disappoint. You know why that wheelchair don't have to discourage you? Because your Father's faithful and He's the one who made the promise. Not your pastor. Not, hallelujah. Not your pastor. Your pastor didn't promise you healing. It was your Father who promised you healing. And the hope that He gives will never disappoint. Can somebody say amen? Now the rest of that verse, and this is what we want to focus on today. God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Everybody say, His love has been shed abroad in my heart. What are we talking about today? One of the effects of the Holy Spirit is a love that compels us to go. Let's just stop here for a moment and let's really get some clarity on what we're talking about. Whose responsibility is it to go and make disciples of all nations? Whose responsibility is it to go and sin no more? Whose responsibility is it to go and show yourselves to the priest? Whose responsibility is it to go into the highways, into the hedges, that my house might be full? Anybody who has had the Holy Spirit birth inside of them, anybody who has been born again, that which is born of spirit is spirit. And when you receive the Holy Spirit sheds abroad in your heart. He pours into your heart the love of God. And God's love is intended to compel you to go. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Who remembers when the love of God flooded your heart? You're remembering it right now, Dean? That's why tears are swelling up in your eye. Who remembers when God's love lifted you out of that low place? Who remembers when your world was unraveling and God's love came and wrapped His arms around you, and what you were terrified of and what you were lonely in and what you were afraid of, that love just lifted you when nothing else could lift you, when your parents couldn't console you, when your spouse couldn't do it, when drugs could no longer get it done, and then the love of God invaded that 8x10 cell that I was laying on my knees on, and the love of God invaded that cell. The prison doors couldn't keep His love from getting to me. The guards couldn't keep His love from getting to me. My own hardness and stubbornness could not keep His love from getting to me. It flooded that 8x10 cell, and it flooded my heart, and it lifted me. Lifted me, glory to God. Who remembers when the love of God came and rescued you? Who remembers when the love of God came and called your name? You felt so worthless. You felt so meaningless. You felt like a complete and total failure. But God's love spoke your name. And God says, I'll take you just the way you are. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. God says, Larry, I want you. Who remembers when love came to you? Who remembers when love set you free? Somebody say, happy day. Happy day. You know why I got a smile? I feel like I'm Nate. I just got a big smile on my face that won't go away. You know why? Because God's love is so good. His love is so good. His love is so good. His love is so good. And think for a moment with me. What happened in that moment when God's love flooded your heart? It changed you. I can remember laying on that cell. They slid those divorce papers through that slot in the door. I was trying to figure out what all this paperwork was about. I saw the words dissolution of marriage. I thought, what in the world does that mean? That's a fancy word for divorce. I read a little further, and the weight, I just fell to the floor. I didn't get on my knees so that I could get saved. I fell on my knees because I couldn't stand on my own 2 feet. But something happened when I cried out to Jesus. Something happened when I said, God, if what these guys have been telling me in that jail ministry down there, if it's true, then I give my life to you because I can't live like this. I'll give my life to you. Something happened when love came and flooded my heart. I was changed, glory to God. I was cleansed. I was healed in my heart of years of hurt and years of disappointments. God's love. Love changed me. God's love encouraged me, and God's love has encouraged you. How many of you would say that when you experience God's love, you got hope? Hope was what lifted me up off that floor. Hope was what told me to get up. You can go on. Hope is what told me don't give up. Hope is what told me keep moving forward. It was hope that came by love, glory to God. When His love flooded our hearts, He gave us purpose. I can remember when I was in prison and God started to use me to lead other people to Jesus. I can remember leading a guy who was dying of AIDS to Jesus. First person I ever led to the Lord. Guy in prison who dying of AIDS. led him to the Lord. And in that moment, something happened on the inside of me. I realized what I was created to do. This is what you made me for, God. You made me to lead others to you. This is why you caused the little sperm cell to get to my mama's egg that I am. That's why I was the one that made it, God, so that I could go and lead others to you. Changed my life, man. I didn't want to do drugs no more, because the reason I did drugs was because I thought I found my purpose in being a drug dealer. I thought I had purpose in being somebody that other people needed. And then I found out what I was created for. I was able to be used by God to go and share the gospel with somebody. I was able to lead somebody else to the hope that I had found. And drugs would never be able to give me purpose again, because I found my true purpose. I found my Christ purpose. I found my heavenly purpose. I found my divine, listen to me, I found my divine origin. Mm. His love satisfied you, didn't it? You didn't need tobacco no more. You didn't need alcohol no more. You didn't need those things no more. Why? Because his love satisfied you. Consider this. It was all I could think about. You know, I had nothing but time on my hands when I was in prison. And I had a lot of things I could be thinking about, but for some reason, one thing consumed my thoughts and consumed my conversation. God's love for me. A junkie, convicted felon, a failure as a father, a failure as a husband, a failure as a son, but God loves me. It blew my mind. Totally blew my mind. It's all I could think of. It's all I could talk about. Other people would, hey man, you want to get in on this? I don't think so, man. They'd be running the same games in prison they was running on the streets. You want to get involved on this? My benefit? No, I don't know why. I'm just not interested in that stuff no more. It just don't have any appeal to me. I'm not excited by it. I'm actually grieved by it. But let me tell you what excites me. You got to come up to church on Sunday with me. You got to come up and you got to experience what God is doing in the hearts of a few good men here. You got to come get some of this. Many would say, I'm not interested. Some would come. His love compelled you. Can somebody say amen? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Bible says these words. For Christ's love compels us. Because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Paul is saying, I've had a revelation of the love of God, that God so loved me that he gave his one and only Son, that who would ever believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He said, I've had a revelation of this. I've seen God's love, and I've seen that he's been raised from the dead, and I also have seen that I should live for God's glory and not for my own. Can somebody say amen? So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God. Consider what he's saying. Look at your life. You're not a junkie no more. You're a child of God. Look at your life. You're not a failure no more. You're the masterpiece of God. Look at your life. You're not a deadbeat no more. You are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. This new creation, all of this stuff, it's from him. He's the one that gave it to you. It was his grace that made it available. It was his mercy that allowed it to happen. It was his love that brought it to pass. Consider this. All this was from God, who reconciled. It wasn't from you. It wasn't from me. It wasn't from your church. It wasn't because anything you did. It wasn't because anything you figured out. It wasn't because of anything on your part. You had nothing to do with it. You can't take credit for it. You cannot any way, shape, or form find any relevant way to take any kind of credit for what has become of your life. Marilyn Cramblett, very successful. You know why? Because of the love of God. Dan, you and Martha, look at your life and look at your marriage. You know why it is the way it is? Not because you're a good husband, but you are a good husband. I got to watch what I say because, yeah, I know she is. We'll get her straightened out one of these days, okay? Why is it that way when it used to be totally different? Because of the love of God. Why is it that any person in this place is sitting here today blessed and prospered and healthy and joy in their heart and peace in their mind when the world out around us is falling apart and there's nothing but distress, there's nothing but chaos, there's nothing but agony, there's nothing but depression, there's nothing but misery all around? But look at your life. Why is it so much better? Because of God. Not because you chose to do things different, but because God chose to love you and reveal himself to you. Glory to God. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. And he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God, listen to this, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he gave us, remember what we're talking about, a love that compels us to go. And he gave us, committed to us, the message of reconciliation. And then he says these words, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making," this is important, "as though God were making his appeal through us." Amen. Did you hear that? Yeah. It's not us going out and compelling the people to come. It's God in us. It's not us going out and trying to bring hope to those who are hopeless. It's God in us. It's not us going to sick people trying to do something for them in our own strength and ability. It's God in us. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Scripture says, for God's love compels us. God's love is a force. Everybody say, love is a force. It moves us to action. His love motivates us to obey. It energizes us when we are weak. What is the force of love intended to do? Compel us to go. I want to challenge you today. What are we supposed to go and do? Go tell others what they're really missing out on. Amen. Let me tell you something. If you're not living in a relationship with Jesus, you don't know what you're missing out on. I'm telling you right now, I lived what the world would call a very exciting life. And I thought I had what excitement was until I had my heart flooded with the love of Christ. Go tell others that they can be healed. Go tell others that they're free, glory to God, from condemnation. You don't have to walk around hiding in the shadows of darkness any longer. You can come into the light, hallelujah. You can come into church with your head held high. You can walk through the mall with your head held high. You don't have to take your own life. You don't have to punish yourself anymore for stupid things that you've done in your past. And yes, they were stupid things. They were stupid things, but God's love is not a stupid thing. It's a powerful thing, and his love has made a way for you to be lifted from that shame, for you to be let go from that guilt, for you to no longer feel the need to punish yourself. Let me tell you why so many people are addicted to drugs. Let me tell you why so many people have a hard time having joy, because they don't feel like they deserve it, so they punish themselves. God's love frees you from that. There is redemption available. Come on, somebody get excited. Oh, yeah, you royally blew it. You made some massive mistakes. But God's love is a redeeming love. It's a love that buys you back from the penalty that is due for your consequences. God's love buys you back. God has done great things. And here's probably the most beautiful thing you could ever hear from the Lord. I want you. Amen. Remember the prodigal son coming home to his father? Lord, Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. What did the father say? Go get the robe, get the ring, and kill a fatted calf. for this son of mine. Glory to God. Every person who encountered Jesus in the scripture, in the gospel, I want to challenge you in this. Every person who encountered Jesus in the gospel and who encountered Jesus' love was immediately told to go. I'm going to say that again. In the gospel, when people encountered Jesus and when people had an encounter with the love of Christ, the next words out of Jesus' mouth was go. The man who was healed of leprosy. Lord, I know you can heal me if you want to. Jesus said, what do you mean if I want to? Go. Go. To the woman caught in the act of adultery. She wasn't accused of committing adultery. She was caught in bed with the guy. To the woman caught in the act of adultery. But the love of God was revealed to Jesus when Jesus said, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, there are none. And he said, neither do I accuse thee. The love of God revealed to her. What did he say? Go and sin no more. The demoniac, the island of the Gadareans. Jesus came to him. He had an encounter with the love of God, and Jesus set him free from years of torment. A man who lived in the cemetery, whose home was a tomb, who cut himself day and night because he was so full of pain and so full of agony and so full of hurt, cutting himself, trying to let the pain out, trying to get release from the hurt. Day and night he cried amongst dead people, and Jesus comes and delivers him and sets him free. And this guy is so overwhelmed by the love of this Savior. He says, I want to come with you. And what did Jesus say? No, go. Go home to your village and tell the people of all the good things that God has done for you. There were 10 lepers that Jesus healed. He said to the 10 lepers, go show yourself to the priests. One of them came back, so grateful for what God had done in his life. He fell down on his knees and he began to give thanks. And you know what Jesus said? Go, your faith has made you whole. Amen. When you encounter Jesus and when you encounter the love of God, it's for a reason and a purpose. Let me just say something to you. And I know this might bother some of you. God doesn't love you for your benefit. He loves you for his own glory. Wow, that's almost heavy duty. That's HD right there, not high definition, heavy duty. God doesn't love you for your benefit. He loves you for his own glory. It's God's glory to love you. I'm telling you right now, man, his love compels us to go. German, would you come? And guys that are going to be serving communion, would you go ahead and take your places? In Ephesians, Paul prays such a beautiful prayer for the church. And this is what he says. This is what the apostle says. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's people to grasp, listen, to grasp how wide, how high, how long, and how deep is the love of Christ. Paul said, I pray above all things that you would come to know how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Church, listen to me. We need another revelation, a fresh revelation of God's love. Guys, would you go ahead and prepare yourselves and just be patient and wait on me for a moment? Kelly, would you come and get things ready? We need a fresh revelation of his love. Paul was not talking to sinners. Paul was writing to the church of Ephesus, to the saints of Ephesus. In the beginning of this prayer, look what he says, that you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp his love and to understand this deep and wide and extravagant and relentless and powerful and incomparable love that God has for you. It's a love that surpasses knowledge and understanding. And once you get a revelation of this love, it will compel you to go. It will motivate you to do and to obey. And it will energize you when you're weak. God's love will do that. You know why the church is in decline? You know why we're losing a generation? You know why sin is abounding so rapidly in this country? Because the love of many has waxed cold. We need a revelation of God's love. His love was shown and demonstrated. Romans 5:8, He demonstrates His love for us in this, while we were still sinners. How great is His love? When you had nothing to show God that was good, when there was nothing that you could ever give for His love, when you were at your worst. See, many of you, you have a lot to offer God today, but when God demonstrated His love, you had nothing. You were a scum. You were filthy rags. There was nothing good that you could give God in exchange for His love, and that's when God demonstrated it. Oh, when you were at your worst, God was at His best on the cross. When you were at your lowest, Jesus was at His highest. When you was at your ugliest, the beautiful work of the cross was at its greatest. His love brings us into a family. For those who received Him, for those who believed in His name, He gave them the power to become children of God. Romans chapter 8, and guys, I'll be with you in just a second. Romans chapter 8. What or who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? How many of you, when you've been going through difficulty before, felt as though God had abandoned you? Be honest. How many of you, when you've gone through struggle before, felt like God was not true to His word? How many of you ever felt like God maybe was, if you're like me, maybe even trying to punish you for things that you had done in your past? I deserve this. How many of you even said those words as you've gone through trouble and hardship? I deserve this sickness. You know, I deserve this cancer. I smoked all those years. It's just what I got coming to me. No. I'm going to say it again. No. For your sake, we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Listen to what Paul says. No. Hardship, trial, persecution, famine, danger, and sword. No. In all of these things, in all the challenges of this life, in all the difficulties that we would face, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, and friend, there'll be demons that come against you. You will experience the touch of death as loved ones die and as tragedy strikes. But I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angel nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any other power, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Everybody say, thank You for Your love. Today is communion. And listen to what the Scripture says. Jesus teaching His disciples, wanting desperately for His disciples to understand the kingdom that He was coming to represent. Jesus is the King of a kingdom. And His kingdom is much different than this earthly kingdom. And as He's teaching His disciples, He's trying to give them a new understanding, because all they understand is this world system. But Jesus is offering them a new way of living, a new way of doing life. And so He begins to teach them parables about the kingdom that He's the King of. And this is what He says. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. Everybody say a treasure. A treasure hidden in a field. Get a picture of what He's saying. The kingdom of heaven, it's like a treasure that's hidden in a field. when a man found it. He found the treasure. He found what was valuable. The Bible says he hid it again, and then in his joy, he sold all that he had and he bought the entire field. God loves humanity so much. God loves people so much. God loves you so much that he sold it all. He gave it all up so that he could buy the entire field. The treasure that God saw was you, was me, was people. He saw a treasure when he looked down at us. Well, he didn't see what you see when you look in the mirror. He didn't see your failures. He didn't see your mistakes. He didn't see your unworthiness. He saw the potential that was there, and he saw what his love and his blood could do, what it could bring forth. And he said, that's a treasure I'll give it all for. Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he also along with him not freely give us all things? Men, would you serve? How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that he would give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. That's how great God's love is for you. He's an amazing God. I'm going to say that to you again. He's an amazing God. What's the proof to what I'm preaching this morning? Those two elements that you are about to partake of. Those two elements, that little wafer which represents his body, that little glass of grape juice that represents his blood. That is the proof, my friend, that you are a treasure to God Almighty. His body was broken for you. His blood was poured out for you. He stopped at nothing to get his love to you. Glory to God. Wonderful Jesus, wonderful Jesus. Kind of makes you think about communion in a whole new sense, doesn't it? As you think about a man who looked down at a field that maybe nobody else saw any value in. There was a treasure that was hidden that nobody could see. But he saw through it all. And he saw something that was worth selling it all for. And he did. He gave his own life. He left his throne in heaven. He laid aside his rights and his privileges as God. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He put on flesh. He came from heaven to earth. He lived among us. He was touched with the feelings of your infirmities. Why? So that he could overcome sin. So that he could overcome death. So that he could overcome the enemy. That he could bring you back to the place that you always were supposed to belong to. And that was the Creator who created you. What a beautiful gospel. It's a beautiful gospel. Now, there's one more thing I want to say. God went to such depths to love you. And the Bible says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. A love that compels us to go. If God's love for you was so powerful that he sold it all to get to you, and if his love is what's working through us to reach others, then what we have to understand is we must be willing to go to any lengths to reach other people. We must be willing to go to any lengths to get this gospel to other people. Why? Because God went to any lengths to get it to you. And it's him who's making his appeal through us. No more selfish living. No more God getting your leftovers. No more God getting the portion that nobody else wanted. It is from this point forward, God getting it all. Can somebody say amen? It's about giving it all for Jesus. Why? Because he gave it all for you. Bow your heads if you would and close your eyes. I sense the Holy Spirit in this place this morning. If you're here this morning and if you would say, Pastor Richard, I'm ready to surrender to my Father, I want you to stand up on your feet. Not calling you a sinner. Not saying that there's stuff in your life that you need to get right with God over. Just simply saying that you know you're not walking in obedience to God. And today is the day that God is calling you to demonstrate your love for Him by laying it all down. Is there anybody else that needs to be standing? I'm looking up in the balcony as well. Another invitation I want to give, if you're here today and if you would say, Pastor Richard, I'm not living in a relationship with Jesus. There's a part of me that doesn't even believe that God is real. There's a part of me that just believes it's some story that men have made up to ease their mind and ease their fears. But as you're preaching today, there's something strange happening on the inside of me. There's something that I can't quite explain that is happening on the inside of me. Well, let me tell you what it is. It's Jesus knocking at the door of your heart. He's here to tell you that your life can be so much more. He's here to tell you that there's so much more that He has in store for you. You know why you're unhappy with your life? Because God has something more for you and you know it. If you're here this morning and if that would be you, I want you to stand up on your feet as well. And then for those of you that are present that would say, Pastor Richard, I hear God calling me. I hear God speaking to me and I'm ready to go. I'm ready to give it all. I'm ready to do whatever He wants me to do. I am as the prophet Isaiah. I am hearing God say, whom shall I send? Who will go for me? And today I am declaring, here am I. Send me. If that's you, I want you to stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet all over this place. Is there anybody else? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we are grateful and thankful for the love that you have revealed to us. And we honor you now, God. Those of you standing, say this out loud. Father God, I have heard you. You have called me to yourself. And I am coming. I give it all to you. All of my skills, all of my weaknesses, they're yours. Shape me and make me into your desired purpose. I will go where nobody else wants to go. I will do what nobody else wants to do. I will reach where nobody else wants to reach. I will love who nobody else wants to love. I will give what nobody else is willing to give. Because I have seen you, and I know what you've given for me. Let's go ahead and let's eat and let's drink, and then let's just thank and praise the Lord for His faithfulness and His great sacrifice. Stand up on your feet if you would, please. Come on, everybody, stand up on your feet. Wonderful Jesus, wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus, we worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Come on, worship the Lord. Give Him some praise this morning. Consider the cross. Consider the cross, His great love. His great love poured out for you. His love was poured out. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I speak a blessing over your people today. that they would go from this place free from the weight of guilt, free from the weight of shame, free from the load and the burden of condemnation. For your love has lifted me. Everybody say out loud, your love has lifted me. Glory to God. Now give him some praise. Give him some praise. Amen. 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 I want to